It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. It's the PGA Tour versus LIV Golf and the art of no deal. Time for another update on the lack of progress on that proposed merger between the PGA Tour and the Saudi-backed LIV Golf Group. Now, LIV Golf is going to conclude its third season. Has it really been that long? This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Merideau Golf Club in the North Dallas suburb of Carrollton, Texas. The final event in 2024 is the culmination of LIV Golf's year-long four-man team competition. So let's meet Team LIV. In my opinion, the most interesting differentiating factor about LIV Golf has been the team competition. In addition to the golfer's individual score at LIV Golf events, each player is also part of a four-man team which competes for significant weekly prize money. Now, beginning on Friday, the opening round of this LIV Golf team competition will bring 10 of the 13 teams of four players apiece to play individual matches and foursome matches. Then on Saturday, the number one seeded team, called the Crushers, captained by U.S. Open champion Bryson DeChambeau, will take to the course along with the number two seed Legion 13, captained by John Rahm, and the number three seed Ripper GC out of Australia, captained by Cameron Smith, to face the highest seeded winners from the Friday matches. On Sunday, the four surviving teams will play individual one-on-one matches in the semifinals, and then the finals will happen Sunday afternoon. The CW app will have all those Friday matches. The Saturday and Sunday ones will be televised nationally on the CW network at a station near you, beginning at 11 a.m. Central Time. Now let's meet Team PGA. In June 2023, 15 months ago, the PGA Tour's commissioner, Jay Monahan, surprised professional golf by stating that the PGA Tour was planning to merge with their upstart new rival, LIV Golf, by no later than December 31st, 2023. Well, that deadline has passed and no deal was in sight. But then, in January of this year, the PGA Tour announced a new financial partnership with a private equity firm called Strategic Sports Group, or SSG. Now, that company is investing up to $3 billion in the PGA Tour. They include the owners of the Boston Red Sox, New York Mets, and Milwaukee Brewers baseball teams, along with Arthur Blank, who's the owner of the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL. A brand new for-profit entity called PGA Tour Enterprises was also born. That new group is promising to set aside $1.5 billion for the PGA golfers to participate in becoming equity partners in this new venture. The top PGA players will receive a yet-to-be-determined share of the new company as an incentive not to leave for LIV Golf. So what happened to that proposed merger? Well, the talks have been slow, and they featured very little in common ground. There's no urgency being felt by either side. LIV Golf has already spent several billion dollars and is never going to turn a profit. The Saudi Public Investment Fund, the PIF they're called, apparently doesn't care about that either. With billions of dollars in oil profits, the Saudi group has effectively purchased their own sports notoriety on the world stage. The 54 LIV golfers have accepted various degrees of signing bonus money to jump from the PGA Tour over to this new league. And though the bonuses were generally in the $10 to $20 million range, not exactly chump change, a few of the top names, though, have pocketed $100 million and even more. The 2023 world number one golfer John Rahm of Spain bagged the largest signing bonus worth $300 million as he jumped to LIV Golf beginning in 2024. The PGA Tour, which was a not-for-profit organization until earlier this year, has now found its own sugar daddy in the Strategic Sports Group. The PGA Tour players have already benefited from higher tournament payouts in the last 2 years. Due to the competition for players now, the PGA Tour golfers are earning significantly more money after LIV Golf hit the scene 3 years ago. The PGA Tour knows that LIV Golf's finances, though, are virtually limitless. The established PGA Tour group will not admit that it's scared, but LIV Golf will be able to continue to pilfer even more talent away from the PGA Tour by offering the right price to the right golfer at the right time. And from the golfer's viewpoint, a bad back or some other injury could actually end your professional golf career next week. So why shouldn't the golfer consider a new place to work that offers a guaranteed signing bonus? Though some leading PGA stars will say, no thank you, some others might say, where do I sign? So didn't LIV Golf and the PGA Tour groups just meet again last weekend? What's the problem now? Well, from the LIV Golf perspective, those players want their tournament finishes to start receiving credit toward the official World Golf Ranking Points. The OWGR, as it's called, currently fails to give the LIV golfers any points for their events, presumably because they're only 54 holes instead of the traditional 72 holes on the PGA Tour. As of right now, the official World Golf Rankings show that the top-rated LIV golfer is number 10-ranked Bryson DeChambeau, who won this summer's 2024 U.S. Open. The 2023 number one golfer from last year, John Rahm, has fallen all the way back to number 15 in the world this year. But John Rahm didn't play poorly in 2024. In his debut season with LIV Golf, he had two victories and never finished out of the top 10 in any tournament. He earned $16.7 million for the season and just won an $18 million bonus last weekend for finishing number one in the league this year. So why did John Rahm fall from the number one golfer in the world last year while on the PGA Tour to number 15 this year because he's part of LIV? The ranking system is absolutely broken, and it must be addressed immediately. Meanwhile, let's talk about the PGA Tour's current issues. Today, the PGA Tour, though, clarified a way forward for current LIV golfers to become eligible in the next Ryder Cup, which is scheduled to be played in September 2025 at the Bethpage Black Golf Course in the New York City area. The LIV golfers will be required to obtain and maintain what the PGA Tour is calling an A-3 type of membership. The annual dues? $120 per year. That's right. The PGA Tour issued a statement today saying, quote, "To ensure the PGA Championship will continue to deliver the strongest field in golf and that the Ryder Cup team will continue to have access to the best American players, the PGA of America board has determined that LIV Golf players will be eligible for both." Congratulations! Otherwise, the PGA Tour players remain adamant, though, about not allowing golfers who bolted for LIV Golf with their bank full of signing bonus money to return to their tour. The PGA Tour golfers want to establish some rules, hard and fast rules, making it difficult financially for those golfers to ever return to the primary tour. Now, what about the golf fans? All but forgotten in this PGA Tour versus LIV Golf drama are the golf fans like you and me. Our support will determine the future success or failure of professional golf, whether it be the PGA Tour, LIV Golf, both of them, or neither of them. Most golf fans want to encourage growth of the game beginning at the junior level, as this is a lifelong sport. That also means that professional golf needs a place for the youngest talent to be seen on national television competing against those established stars. Golf fans, like me, prefer to see the top professional golfers playing at the same events as often as possible. And at the moment, that only occurs at the four major tournaments. Now, the LIV Golf reduced schedule allows for nearly every one of their players to show up for fans at every tournament. The PGA Tour, though, should develop a better idea to get their top 50 golfers in the field at the majority of its future tournaments. Most golf fans would agree that the PGA Tour currently has too many weekly events and too many watered-down fields. Speaking only for myself, I like LIV Golf's smaller fields and especially the team competitions. So, your Swamp Swami here is offering a solution. Number one, with so little common ground at the moment, it's time to call off the PGA Tour and LIV Golf merger talks. It's over. Yes, sir. The LIV Golf players will not and should not return their signing bonus money as part of any future deal. And believe it or not, some of the top PGA Tour players actually want that to happen. But it won't. This is a dead issue. The Saudi-backed LIV Golf Group cannot be outspent by the PGA Tour either. The PGA Tour needs to operate within its own economic confines and continue to nurture a golf pipeline for its youngest stars, the loyal veterans, and even the seniors as they're doing today. Let LIV Golf find their own way on the world stage, and there appears to be plenty of room for both of the major golf groups to satisfy the golf fans in the U.S., Europe, and all around the world. Number two. LIV Golf is being severely penalized by having its events totally omitted from the official World Golf Rankings. The OWGR system influences the eligibility for golfers to be able to receive future invitations to play in the four major golf tournaments, plus the biennial Ryder Cup and President Cup matches. That current system is totally broken. If the official World Golf Rankings fail to make changes to their system by, let's say, the end of this year, representatives from both the PGA Tour and LIV Golf need to get together and come up with their own ranking system to be used going forward. That'll get the other guys to make the changes. So here's an idea. I'll give it to you for free. The current 54-hole LIV Golf tournaments should count for, let's say, 75% of the total points won during a traditional 72-hole PGA Tour event. This gives the PGA Tour player a little bit more credit for playing an additional 18 holes against a larger starting field. And lastly, number three. Golf fans like me want to see a PGA Tour versus LIV Golf Challenge Match event styled after the Ryder Cup. Let's say that a team event would be held on day one and singles competition on day two. A joint committee from both of the tours should select the venue and playing dates, and I would suggest that the event would be held on the Saturday and Sunday on the weekend prior to the NFL's Super Bowl, like in early February, for maximum visibility. The event could feature a winner-takes-nearly-all purse, with the winning team receiving no less than, let's say, 75% of the total prize money. The players on the losing team would still receive a guaranteed minimum amount, sufficient to cover their expenses and some compensation for just participating. Along with the player payout, a monetary dollar match, let's say from a national sponsor, would go on behalf of each player from both teams, donated to the designated charity of each of those participants. There you go. We've solved the problems, at least for now. Maybe. I'm Swamp Swami.